Good morning and welcome to this talk on gender transformative behavior change for promoting healthy diets and nutrition among tribal communities in Telangana, India. This is part of the research that was undertaken under the Tigris Project and co-funded by the CGIAR research programs on grain legumes and dryland cereals. I am R. Padmacha, a scientist based at the International Crops Research Institute for the Semi-Arid Tropics, ICRISAT. Today, I will talk about transformative behavior change that we brought about through nutrition messaging. So just to give you a quick rundown about what the Tigris Project FP6 component included was, it had two major responsibilities, and both of them were to have food, nutrition, and education interface. So the first phase of this was participatory action research, where we collected all the big background knowledge, information related to food, nutrition, behaviors, actions, etc. And in phase two, we developed the nutrition and knowledge, literacy knowledge hub, we call it. So through community engagement, we co-created, co-designed, delivered, and documented innovative practices around improved nutrition, health, and well-being. So in this session today, I'm going to talk about the nutrition education sessions for transformative behavior change. The nutrition curriculum would be addressed by other speakers. So what do you mean by behavior change, which is transformative and which addresses both the genders and is inclusive? So behavior change is any modification in behavior. And in this case, it is with respect to health and nutrition. Now, this change may happen simultaneously and spontaneously or involuntary without any intervention, or it could be systematic, motivated, as prompted by conditioning through interventions. Now, gender transformative programs and interventions seek to critically examine the gender-related norms and expectations and thereby increase gender-equitable attitudes and behaviors through interventions which are related to health and nutrition in this case. Now, for transformative change, it is an increasing call for the engagement of men and boys, not only as allies, but as participants, partners, and agents of change in our gender equality efforts. In this case, it is again nutrition or health. And when we say transformative, we move away from the individual to include collective enhancements. And that's what our effort has been under this project. So transformative behavior change is a process, as most of us know. And in this case, I'm going to talk about the five steps that we followed in bringing about this behavior change, which is transformative and which is gender and socially inclusive. So the first step is understanding the situation. And then as we go along, I'll talk about the five steps that we followed in this process. And we used a case of messaging for better health and nutrition and used the Telangana sites as our examples through a knowledge, attitudes, and practices study and interventions based on the results of the study. As we know, knowledge will result in changes in attitudes. So enhanced knowledge will bring about, you know, being in a position or a tendency or a response to a situation which is much better than previously. And that would result in a practice which is something that deals with concrete actions. So in the first step, where we talked about understanding the situation, we did a KAP or a knowledge attitudes practice survey as a baseline to assess the nutrition and health related knowledge levels of different categories of respondents. They were young mothers, lactating mothers, that is mothers who had children under 1 year of age, pregnant women, adolescent boys and girls, Anganwadi teachers, school teachers, and ASHA activists. Two tribal locations of Telangana, that is, as you can see from the map, it is Utnur and Teriyani of the erstwhile Adilabad state district. 921 individuals were our respondents. It was a tablet-based survey, and then we also collected anthropometric data in addition to the tablet-based survey. Now, understanding the context is very important because it includes not only at the individual level, but at the family or the household level. It also looks at community, peers, etc., as well as national and global influences. In this case, let me tell you about an interesting finding. Now, in the national or a national influence, this region was earlier producing a lot of millets, but because of a government policy and the introduction of a cotton market, everybody switched from a millet-based cropping system to cotton-based cropping system, and that changed their diet behaviors and also attitudes and practices. So hence, understanding the context is very important. And we used both quantitative and qualitative data with different modules, focus group interventions, market surveys, etc. All of them were translated into the local context and local language. The second step was based on the results of our KAP survey. And as you can see from this graph, you could see that the knowledge scores of all the respondents was very low, and including the attitudes and the practices. So based on the results of the survey, we decided on designing the strategy. Now, again, we co-designed it with the communities. So before we started to think about what could be a strategy, we wanted to ensure who has access to a mobile phone. And so as you can see from this, majority of the women did not have access to a mobile phone, and hence nutrition education sessions were planned. And then in co-designing the strategy, in consultation with the communities, we brought about different methods or different modules or different technologies to bring about the desired behavior change through the nutrition messaging that we actually created. Then in creating the interventions and the materials, we looked at the availability, accessibility, and affordability part also of the food and nutrition aspect, and also health practices and services. And our focus was on the agency here. That's what I would like to say, because that would help in bringing about the desired behavior change. And so we co-created different interventions. So we had 9 sessions for pregnant, lactating, and young mothers, different sessions for adolescent boys and girls, similarly for the adult males or the spouses of the women who were part of our survey, as well as the mothers-in-law. And you can see the different interventions were planned and the incentives were planned according to the topic that was being introduced on that particular session. We developed visual aids in local languages, and this was a combination of posters. We had pamphlets which could be taken home, flyers that could also be taken home and kept at different places in the community, and some video and movie clips. So here are some snapshots about how we went about implementing and monitoring our nutrition sessions. We used the Anganwadi teachers and the ASHA workers as our focal points, and through them, our enumerators with a planned script actually helped in bringing about and conducting the nutrition sessions so that people could understand the knowledge, practices, attitudes about what different items in a diet could mean. What is a balanced diet? What is the significance of iron or iodine in the diet? What does it mean? The power of nutrition, among others. So a combination of videos, scripts, posters, and flyers and pamphlets were used in this whole process. So you can see focus group discussions were also held to make them understand about health aspects and health related issues, especially with adolescent girls, which is an important stage in their life cycle. Again, movie clips or videos for health were constantly given and shown to the people. And also, if they had access to smartphones, the links were also provided to them so that they could take them home and share with their family members also. And the last step that we did was evaluating and replanning. Now, we completed the KAP end line to assess the improvements in knowledge, what worked, what did not work, and what were some of the lessons learned. However, this is still in progress and in process. Due to COVID-19 mobility restrictions, we could not do the surveys on time, and hence this is still in process. So what we would still continue to do is measure the outcomes and assess the impact, which is now in progress, disseminate the results to partners, key stakeholders, the news media and funding agencies, record lessons of what we have learned, what worked, and how these research findings can be used in future programs. And lastly, revise or redesign the program based on our evaluation findings so that we can bring about the desired behavior change with respect to nutrition and health. So some final thoughts before I close my talk. Now, to bring about a transformative behavior change in the society, we should involve all the stakeholders. That is what was our lesson that we learned from both the baseline, endline, and the conduct of the sessions. That is the government, the community, the health service providers, mass media, and the non-governmental organizations as well who are working in that particular community. Sometimes people need frequent reminders and reinforcements, which can be strategically delivered if all the involved parties are well coordinated and willing to work towards a common goal, which is positive change of behaviors to prevent health and nutrition related issues. And for a gender transformative behavior change, which was the core of this intervention, was what did we learn through our focus group discussions and analysis of the data is enhancing the nutrition knowledge, attitudes, and practices of not just women, but also men, adolescent boys and girls, men, and the frontline functionaries led to a better awareness about food, their dietary behaviors, and their dietary practices. Now, the learnings from the session, especially for women, which was taken and carried over to other family members, are they were able to allocate the scarce or the insufficient resources as a result of the pandemic for better nutrition for the household. And lastly, scaling up capacity strengthening to NES sessions using digital tools or applications in the local language, as well as curriculum for the frontline workers, was a way forward that we thought about. And then we also attempted for some policy connects, some which could not be completed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which imposed mobility restrictions. But we were able to share the findings of the study with researchers, decision influencers, and practitioners through presentations and talks. And there are many examples that I have given. Blog posts, infographics, and videos for dissemination with key stakeholders, including policymakers and other stakeholders, are already prepared, and some are yet in the preparation stage. With this, I would like to thank you. And this is the research team that supported us in implementing and carrying out this research in the tribal communities of Telangana. Thank you.